Welcome to the Moving Past You Radio Show, a show about identifying, confronting, and embracing the obstacles that block and delay us in walking in our divine purpose. Each week, we delve into the complexities and rewards of walking in your purpose. Now, here's your host, Juanita Gaynor.
Good evening, everyone. It's a wonderful thing to have you on this evening. It is September the 1st, and we are live and in charge for the premiere of season 4. I am so excited about this month. Our official anniversary is September 19th, when Moving Past You first graced the airwaves through Praise Orlando Radio. So 5 years later, we're still here. We are still here. Imagine this. And season 4 is unlike anything you could potentially ever imagine. And so I have awesome shows planned for you for the entire season. But this evening, we're going to talk about some things that are just near and dear to our hearts and that we need to have more open conversations about. And so we were going to have a panel on, but one of our panelists, who is a licensed social worker, you know, emergency happens. It's the line of work in which they operate in. So therefore, I am grateful that she was, you know, planning to join. But, you know, duty calls first. And therefore, this is what she took the oath to be in charge with, is to help those and cover those. So we definitely look forward to having her grace our screens soon. But the one who's going to be joining me this evening, you know who she is. You have seen us together more ways than not. You know, we are like thick as thieves. Like, we are about this and we do this. But, you know, when she came to me and was like, we really need to have this conversation. And I'm like, absolutely. We can be the first show of the season and we can kick it off and kick it off right. And for most people, it's going to be no other than my homie, my sister from another mother, bestie, you know, my author partner, my ministry partner. It is amazing, like, how connected we've become over these past 5 to 6 years. And that is none other than Minister Keisha L. Peterson. She's a minister, self-publishing coach, you know, best-selling author. And let me just give you some more about who she is, because, you know, I know who she is. She's fabulous. But let me introduce you to others, who she is. Keisha L. Peterson is a dedicated mother of 3, an adored grandmother of 6. Those are my babies, too. They just don't know it yet. Is a respected minister, founder, and CEO of Absolute Word Ministries and G.C. Peterson Publishing. As a 4-time self-published author, she holds the prestigious status of 5-time Amazon best-selling and international best-selling author. This is who God is bringing before you guys, okay? Keisha is also widely recognized as a revered motivational empowerment speaker and self-publishing coach. Her career includes a role as administrative assistant to former Assemblyman William D. Payne. She earned her associate's degree in criminal justice from Everest University through online studies. Keisha embarked on her literary journey and with an impactful anthology, I Am Who God Says I Am, Living My Life on Purpose, released on her 50th birthday in September 2019. I'm proud to say that I was a part of that as well. Her wisdom has graced the pages of publications like Women's Frontline Magazine and Victorious, and Valued Magazine. Actively engaged in her community, Keisha is a member of the Church of the New Covenant Women Speakers Association, holds a Silver Life membership with the executive committee role in the NAACP Norwich branch. Her steadfast commitment to faith, literature, and community enrichment is a wellspring of inspiration for many. So I may present to some and introduce to others, no other than my good friend, Minister Keisha L. Peterson. Wait, let me bring her up. I'm going to bring her up on the stage. I'm going to bring her up. Hey.
Woo.
How are you? How are you?
I am able to breathe now. I tell you, technology wants to grow a brain every now and then. Wow. I'm like, okay, we can't do this.
It acts like it's grown. It really does. It does act like it's grown. And whatever.
So I am so glad being here tonight with you, because this is such a very important topic.
Right.
You know.
So now, before we deep dive into the topic, let me just put out some trigger warnings. Let's put up some things, because I am going to trigger warning. I'm going to do that for the entire broadcast. And the reason being is that September is Suicide Awareness Month. And we, at some point, we know someone that may have been affected by it, but we want to put a warning up across the board, you know? So therefore, if you are suffering or you need assistance or anything like that, we want you, we have the Suicide and Crisis Hotline. So if you, anything that's triggering, if you feel something is wrong, you can call or text 988. What they will do is that they will, you know, make sure they connect you with someone in your local principality that can assist you. This is a nationwide number. So text, you know, or call 988 if you're feeling something or whatever. Definitely do that. If you're in dealing with mental health and you need maybe some support services, whatever, feel free to call 866-903-3787. You can also dial 988, and they again, they've created this national network that they can go ahead and partner you and move you to someone that can definitely look out for you. Now, if you are a veteran and you are going through crisis or anything like that, you can also dial 988. But what you would do is you would press 1, and it will take you specifically to services that are for veterans. So if you're a veteran and you're in crisis, you can dial 988 and press 1, and it will help you that way. And then you can text the number 88255. You can text 88255. You can text HELP, and someone will text back with you, reach out to you to guide you to where you need to be. This information will scroll throughout the broadcast because we want you to be good. Now, if something is immediate, if it's critical, if it's whatever, I want you to dial 911 immediately so that someone can get you there and help and get you in a safe space. Now, finally, because myself and Minister Peterson are wordies, we'll be talking about mental health today. And I want people to understand that there's a difference between mental health and mental illness. You can be mentally well, you can be in a good headspace and still have a mental illness. And see, when we talk about mental health, it involves your function, your daily activities, you know, healthy relationships, ability to adapt to change or whatever. Mental illness is a diagnosable collection of mental disorders, you know, that include changes in thinking, emotion, and behavior, distress and problems, and how you function in the general world. And this is where you have a good licensed person that is helping you through that. So we are not touching on anything about mental illness. So I want you to know we're talking about mental health. Mental health. Good. We're good. We good? We good? Yes. Great. Okay. We've gotten those things off the chart. We've gotten, you know, whatever. Let me go ahead and make sure that those listening or watching can actually get access to the various connections and numbers that we have so that they can be good. Now, Minister Peterson, when you reached out to me and you was like, you know, we really should have this conversation about, you know, suicide and mental health. I want you to share with not only myself, because I do know some of it, but I want you to share why you feel and why this is something that is near and dear to you.
Well, suicide, like we know, it is a part of mental health because, frankly, anyone in their right mental state of mind will not comfortably say, okay, I'm going to go kill myself, or comfortably say, well, because this happened to me, I'm going to go kill myself, or I'm going to go shoot up this school or do this, whatever. Suicide, it touches home for me because I have encountered it, not just through family members, however, but through friends that I have learned after the fact that they were no longer here because they took their lives. And I actually saw a movie, and it's so funny because I'm not really into musicals. I like musicals, but I'm not into watching them in a movie setting. So I'll go to the theater and watch a musical on stage. But this particular musical, I saw the previews about it, and it really didn't grab me. But one day, you know, and I'm just going to take it there. The spirit told me, Keisha, you have to go and see this movie. And that particular movie, which is now on, it is on Amazon Prime and Freevee. Dear Evan Hansen. Now, I know a lot of you may have seen the previews as well and thinking, oh, I don't want to see that. But I encourage, if you are a teacher, a parent, an auntie, uncle, cousin, you have young people in your life that are even if they are over school age, high school age, or elementary age, as a family, y'all should watch this movie. I just want to give you a quick snippet about it. It is about a young man. He was a loner. And you know how children treat other children that are different than they are? They bully them. They mistreat them. They talk down to them because they don't have the snazzy shoes or the snazzy clothes, or they're quiet and kept to, you know, they keep to themselves. This movie showed how not only was he bullied, but there was another young man that was also bullied. However, he thought that young man had all kinds of friends, all kinds of friends. He thought he was the cool one because he dressed in the goth attire. And without giving too much of the show away, the young man, there's a part of in a movie where the young man signed the first Evan Hansen's cast. He had broken his arm. He signed his cast. And the young man said to him, now everyone will think that we both had friends. And Evan Hansen, it didn't click in his head, you know, like, because, I mean, somebody said something like that to you, it's not going to click. But as the movie goes on, it shows you what happened. And I encourage each and every one of you to take some time out to watch it. I don't know. You might be able to find it. It's on Freevee. You might have to sign up if you don't have it. But I mean, you know, I think it has a couple of commercials in it on Freevee. But I encourage you to take time out and watch it, because we have to take care of our mental health. You know, if you work every day, you need a mental health day. You know, you must take care of your mental health, because if not, you will wear yourself out. You don't even have to be a parent. Even as a single person, your job can be so strenuous that it makes you want to go into the office and just take everybody out because you can't take it anymore. You know, so I'm going to turn it on back over to my dear sister. There you go.
Oh, my goodness. Yes. You know, thank you for that, because I think what happens is that we don't talk about what suicide or mental health or anything that can do. Some of us know someone who was at a point so low that they didn't feel like they could, you know, be here.
Right.
And while I haven't been personally affected by someone who's decided that they didn't, you know, want to be here any longer, I remember a point in my trauma journey where I was actively putting myself in situations, mm-hmm. hoping that someone would just put me out of my misery, because I was just so, I just didn't feel like that I was worthy to be here. So you, someone who may be listening or watching, you may say, well, I've never attempted to do so. And I want to give a little shed a little light. Like, if you've put yourself in positions or situations or whatever that is not in the best way, that could really cause you harm, that's kind of you doing it without thinking you got the guilt or whatever. Because if someone else, if you put yourself in a situation as a shootout and you die because of a stray bullet, you know, you don't leave your family with the guilt or the shame or whatever that they didn't see some signs.
Right.
You know, it's kind of the same thing. It's like, I wasn't going to do it because I was right. like, whatever. So if I put myself in this situation, if I allow myself to be around these people, if I, you know, go ahead and be out of my way, then maybe, you know, I won't be here anymore. Of course, God was like, nah, we're not doing that.
But right, exactly.
Right now, who feel like, you know what, I just don't feel like I should be here. And when, what I want to ask you is, as not only as just on an individual, as someone who works in the ministerial space, because we both do, mm-hmm. and the ministerial space, what are the key things we're missing in the conversations we're not having that we're seeing people fall through the wayside? As you, you know, what you just in your thing and how you've dealt with the community, right. what are those conversations you feel that we're not having, or the red flags we refuse to look at and people are falling through the wayside?
Well, you know, I personally, I think that it's, people don't feel comfortable sharing their true identity. Mm. Okay. People don't feel comfortable sharing their true identity because people are so quick to judge and not understanding, there before the grace of God go I. Now, we all may, you know, we say, yeah, we believe in God. We trust in God. We know he's our all in all. But within that trust, we must trust and believe that he has sent these psychiatrists, these social workers, these psychologists, and sometimes the ministers or pastors, but not so much past. Well, you know what? When I say pastors, I mean, you walking down the street and you see a church door open. I don't mean going to your pastor. You see a church door open and you go and say, I need to speak to someone about A, B, C, D, E, F, G. You don't have to hold on to that guilt or feel ashamed because they don't know you from a can of paint.
Yeah.
You know, so, and I believe it's, you know, I don't mind talking to people. I, a lot of time I put myself out there. You need me, call me. You see me on Facebook. You see my green light on, hit me up. I love video chat. So hit that video screen and I will listen. I'll listen to you sniff, snot, and cry.
Yeah.
You know, and until you ask me for my input, I won't say a word unless God gives it to me.
Right. And that is so true. That is so true. And you know how I feel when it comes to, you know, mental health and like the church. And
yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I know my view could be controversial, but your pastor is your pastor for your spiritual development.
Right.
You know, them, you wouldn't go to your pastor for your cardiac issues. You wouldn't go to them for your back issues.
Exactly.
You know, you, so why do you dump on them? And what it does is that it impedes the progress.
Right.
You know, I understand that. And the thing is and I, of course, and I'm going to say it, you know, I'm good for saying stuff that could be controversial. And that's just me. The reason why many pastors don't say no is because they have been charged with your spiritual well-being, and them telling you no, that they can't handle your mental health or mental illness issues. They feel like if they tell you no, they're turning against God and they're turning against you. So therefore, they try to step into a position that they were not purposed to do or equipped to do.
Especially not for you as a parishioner.
Exactly. So what I want, you know, people to do overall, because, and it's not just the church that, you know, thinks, you know, mental health is just whatever, whatever.
Right.
It is everyone as a whole. So anyone listening, we're not just coming at the church. We're talking from the experiences, because that is where we reside.
Society.
And society was. But society as a whole takes a look at, oh, well, you should just do better. Oh, you should just be better. I'm going to tell you, if I took that stance, I wouldn't be here right now. I remember the first time that I went to a therapist, like a real, you know, therapist. And I was going because I had a complete break. And for them to tell me that it was okay, for them to tell me that it was okay for me to feel the way that I felt. It was okay to have those feelings. It was okay to have those emotions. But this is what we're going to do to get you to a space to be able to cope, deal, and live.
Right.
So many times those who just, you know, who feel and decide when they take their life, it's not that they don't want to live. They don't have the coping mechanisms to live.
Right.
Like, I think we need to just change that, you know, that narrative. They don't have something at some point in their life happened that coping mechanism was never formed. Or if it was formed, it was fractured at some point and they don't know how to deal. So they, you know, get into and they try to self-medicate. They'll alcohol, drugs, men, women, the gamut. Let's be honest. Whatever it is to numb the feeling, that is what they do. And when that doesn't work, they decide that it's just too painful to go ahead and live. And so they decide that no longer being here is better. And the thing is, they feel like they're a burden. You know, they feel like they're a burden to others. And so when I think about, you know, those who I've helped or those who have reached out, that is the ultimate overall thing. They feel like they're a burden. They don't understand why they can't get it together. They don't understand why their brain doesn't work like everyone else. And so therefore, I just shouldn't be here. When in actuality, we have to encourage great mental health.
Yes.
We have to encourage, you know, self-care. We have to encourage, you know, good, you know, stress relievers, you know. I want you to speak on the time when you made a call for me and I found out later she did it, but I'm grateful that she understood the signs and needed it. So I want you to go into a little bit of what led up to that, how you identified what the flags were and the action that you did to take it. Cause I want someone else to hear that as well, because they may be talking to a friend and having that same conversation and not realizing that it's a flag for
that
a call
you need to call
help.
Somebody.
Yep. So I'm gonna bring you on. I want you to go into that scenario a little bit and how you identified it. And I was a little mad, but she didn't care.
And, you know, it's so funny because I wanted to go into that, but I said, oh, no, we didn't discuss that, you know, beforehand. But I'm so glad you brought it up. It was around the time she was helping me with an event. And when I say she was living in Atlanta, many of you know I've been in New Jersey forever, ever. So at that time, she was living in Atlanta and she was making it happen in Atlanta for New Jersey. Okay. However, her job was very demanding. And I mean, there had been times I told her, girl, why don't you just quit that job? I'm sick of them. And not my job, her job. I'm sick of them people, you know. But this particular day, she was so, she was gone. And I didn't like, this is why I like to do video chat with people. Because, see, when you talk to people on the telephone, you think you can get the flags and the innuendos in the conversation just over the phone. But I need to see your face. I need to see what's going on. And so we were on video chat because it's nothing but a thing that we call each other on video chat. And she was crying. She was just going, and I saw she was going this and she was doing that. And I'm saying to myself, okay, no, I have to call somebody. Because right now she's not going to listen to me because I am a sister, okay? So I had to call somebody that was above and beyond. I had to call my brother. You have to call her. She is losing it. And I don't know what she's going to do. I didn't think she was going to harm herself, but I just did not like the stressful situation that she was in. And it was at that point that she looked like, okay, what am I going to do? I got to fix this. I got to fix this. I got to do this. No, you don't. You just had to sit back and be Juanita. And so I made that phone call. And when I made the phone call, I told him, I said, she might get mad, she might get attitude, but guess what? I don't care. She's in Atlanta and I'm in New Jersey. What's she going to do? I said, so I need you to call her. She's on the ledge and she's literally hanging by her fingertips. And I can't seem to get her back in. Because normally, you know, when either one was at that point, we could laugh and talk, find something to be silly about. But at that point in time, there was no laughing and joking. She wasn't having it. So I called and you have to make that phone call to whether it's to 911, whether it's to mommy, daddy, or the older sister or brother or whoever. Or sometimes you might have to be like, let me call her husband or let me call her mother because something's going on and everybody does not understand or know what's going on. And the reason why I said, because Juanita is a private person. Like my aunt used to always tell people, Keisha's very private. She'll only let you know what she thinks you need to know. And so Juanita, we could kind of tell, okay, you're not going to do anything but just talk about it. So I'm not even going to tell you because you're not going to be helpful to the situation. You know, but God always has that ram in the bush to come in and calm the sea as he did. Amen. So, yeah. So I had to, you know, I told her later on down the line, I had to let her know. Ain't nobody scared of you.
Yes, you are. Yes, you are. Yes, you are.
But she was grateful that I made that phone call, though.
Yeah, I was. I mean, because I was at a point where even though I had gone through, you know, counseling and I had whatever, I still had certain trigger points. And what he brought to the situation was a calmness. Like, he was like, oh, so I got to get on a flight.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to tell you, people, when you have someone in your corner, you're going to know. And I realized that I didn't, the look that I was looking at on him, I'm like, yes. Oh, he's about to come clean house.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, like he was serious. He's like, okay, I got to catch a flight. And what it was is that from that day forward, I was able to allow him to help navigate the emotional treachery that I had been going through that year. It was, I got it. And what I did is once I was able to offload that, I was able to get back over the ledge, mm-hmm. far away from the ledge, and begin to actively see the steps that I needed to do. And, right. and see, sometimes you got to have that person outside of a good friend. And for some people, it is a spouse. Mm-hmm. It is a, you know, relationship, male, female, whoever it is, that can bring a sense of reality to the situation, you know, can just put it out there like, that's too much. Why are you doing all that?
Right.
Why? Mm-hmm. And it makes you question, okay, why am I not, why do I need to do this? Or can make you feel like you're not crazy. What mm-hmm. they're doing to you is wrong. What they said to you is wrong. How they're treating you is wrong. You're justified in feeling the way that you feel. And when you get that support, you can then understand that even though sometimes I felt like I wasn't the best or that I was, you know, going loop-de-loop, I felt I've been vindicated in that emotion because I can feel it, but now I have to go beyond feeling it.
Right.
And that is where mental health comes into play. That is where, when I think about mental health, and you can correct me or add in, Minister Peterson, mm-hmm. when I think of mental health, I think of your life coaches, your, you know, success coaches, your mindset coaches. This is where life coaching comes into play. What that is doing is helping the mindset, is helping you create goals, is helping create accountability partners.
Yes.
Now, a good life coach, in my opinion, and yes, we're both, myself and Minister Peterson are both life coaches.
Mm-hmm.
A good life coach, their intake form should take you to a point where they can identify those red flags that know that you needed to be moved and assisted, or you needed to know that something is a trigger and that that person needs immediate care.
Yes.
For instance, I remember when I first went into therapy, the person that I went to was a life coach. She was the sweetest thing in the world, but she realized real quick, she was like, let's call your insurance's referral line.
Mm-hmm.
And she was serious. Like we had, she was like, we need to get you an appointment to behavioral health. We need to get right. you a therapist like ASAP. This is beyond the scope. So I get it. And I understand that we have so many life coaches that will be listening and are watching. Your ultimate goal is for the overall complete person. And if you're not, you know, depending on, especially if you're doing trauma, if you're doing anything with a person's life, if you don't have something where you're doing an exhaustive checklist to make sure that they're not hitting flags, that they should be, you know, assisted and be, how should I say, that they should be in other people's care.
Correct. Right.
You know.
And, you know, and a lot of times, you know, some people just want that. Oh, you're doing a great job.
Yeah.
You're not going to, and coming from as a single mother, when my husband passed away, as a single mother, okay, sometimes you can feel like you're not the best mother. Because you can't give your children what these children have over here. Well, guess what? You don't do the kind of work that their parents do. You know, you don't have the same kind of income, the same skill set as their parents do. But guess what? Your children are clean. Your children are fed. Okay? They are not in jail. They are not 10 years old and pregnant, because you have still been able to instill in them some kind of morals and understanding of what you can't do as a child and what you shouldn't do as a child until you become an adult. So, you know, I really believe that a lot of times, and it's so funny because I've had a couple of people that I've done with the self-publishing coaching, and we've had talks. And after the talks, I'm thinking, I'm just, you know, we're just having a little conversation. And at the end, they're like, oh my God, Minister Peterson, I needed that. Because God was just dumping, yeah. you know, and it's because you never know when that person may come across your path. You think you're just saying, oh, we're just having a conversation. But no, you know, you have helped them through something. Maybe you didn't see it, but they were showing it and they didn't mind letting you know what was going on.
Yes.
You know, so.
Yes.
But yeah, it can be strenuous. And to those single mothers out there, you got this, you know. And if at any point in time you feel like you don't have it, you might not want to kill yourself, but you feel like doing harm, call that number. Speak to somebody. You know, because you, for some reason, like you said, your family and your friends are like, are you okay?
Yes.
You know.
Yes.
You can't just dismiss it.
Yeah. I think our families do. And families and loved ones, it's no, you know, no disrespect to you, no shade is being thrown to you. But sometimes those statements that, oh, you'll be good. Oh, it's all right. Oh, you just, you know, you just got to have thick skin. Mm-hmm. That's just not always the answer.
Right.
And so, Minister Peterson, you know, as a mother, like I have no biological, but as a mother and a grandmother, and we're coming on, this is a and I don't find it ironic that September is Suicide Awareness Month, because mm-hmm. you got kids going back to school, you got Halloween, you Jesus. Got Thanksgiving, you got Christmas, you got New Year's. How, I want you to share how you, and the thing is, a single mother is a mother who is raising the children, who have the children primary time. It's whether you're divorced, whether you're widowed, whether you've never been married. So don't come on in and be like, no, whatever. If you're a single mother, if you have those children 90% right. of the time, and you are their primary caregiver, primary right. financier. So you can be divorced, you could be widowed, you could whatever.
Whatever.
I'm talking to mm-hmm. you. What I want you to do is really talk about in your as you were coming up, and of course, times are different, but methods can still, and foundational methods can still be there. What did you do? What advice would you give to those single mothers now who are trying to navigate the holidays and not being whatever? What are the key things that help you get through those, you know, and how would you, you know, pour life into them, you know, so that they can also get through mm-hmm. you know, not unscathed, because, you know, we're going to have some right. fights, but how can they do that through this season?
Well, you know, my mom, let's take it back some, I want to say 38, 39 years ago. I lost my mom at the age of 15, and I will not start crying.
If you do, that's fine. If you do, that's fine.
At the age of 15, right at the onset of when she was planning my sweet 16th birthday. And if it had not, and I know a lot of people might say, oh, God, this, God, that, God, this. Yes. If it had not been for her instilling in me at an early age that you have to pray, you have to form some kind of relationship with God, and you have to allow yourself that quiet time that he can minister to you and talk to you and mold you and hold you and just be there for you. Because if it had not been for my mom, I tell you, I know for without a shadow of a doubt that I probably would have taken my life. This is the time in my life I'm supposed to be having a little sweet 16 birthday party, enjoying myself, to be the center of attraction. I was burying my mother on my sweet 16th birthday. Mm. Okay. And when I had to return to an old school that I had went to, my friends were like, hey, what are you doing here? You know, how you been? Long time no see. And when I told them what happened, they would look at me with this sheer, utter disbelief on their face, wondering, how are you still here? How are you not in somebody's mental institution in a hug me suit? Okay. And if some of you don't know what a hug me suit is, a straight jacket. Okay. And I had to tell them, well, you know what? My mother used to always tell me, we need to grieve about a birth because this child is coming into this crazy world. And we need to rejoice at a death because that person is no longer in pain. They are no longer suffering. And I know for a fact, you know, that I wish she was still here. But then in my adult life, I know the sicknesses and illnesses that she was encountering. So, you know, I realized that I couldn't be selfish wishing she was still here, because that would have meant she would have still been here, probably going back and forth to the doctors with the blood pressure, clogged arteries and all of that good stuff. And only God knows what else, because there's so much else out here in the world today, you know. But I encourage each and every one of you. I'm not telling you to become holier than thou. I'm encouraging you to seek out a relationship with God. Okay. Read your Bible. You might read, I love Stephen King because I'm a horror fanatic. However, and yes, I have to make myself read the Bible. Why? Because it's not the kind of horror that I like. It's the kind of horror that can really take place in my life. So I have to, Lord, you know, help my brain, help me read this and get a clarifying understanding of what you're saying to me or what's going on in the world. So I encourage you to get that. And even if you need a spiritual a spiritual coach, someone there that you can talk to about spiritual things. And that will lead you, you know, if you are talking to someone and they send you to a scripture and you read that scripture and it says something totally off from what they're telling you, find you a new one. Pray to God, because God will lead you in the direction of who he wants you to have over your life that will work with him to work with you.
Yes. Yes. Oh my goodness. Yes. See, that's it. So, you know, I want everyone there to listen, even, and I'll speak to the guys because I'm the only girl. And so I raised up with the guys, you know, so many of our men, and we're beginning to see this as an epidemic now, that we're seeing more men deciding that life isn't worth being here for. Mm-hmm. And let me explain, you know, men, you are worthy just as much as we are.
Mm-hmm.
You deserve to have a safe space to land. You deserve to be able to, you know, let your emotions out and someone to be able to take them and help you get through them. You're not supposed to always just carry the burden. You know, you're supposed to have an equal partner as well so that you can, you know, share those emotions and feelings with. You know, you deserve to have a great therapist who is going to walk you through those emotions and to help you understand that you deserve to be here on this side.
Yes. And you know what grinds my gears? It just goes in there. You know that cavity that you have where that nerve is hanging out, it just goes in there and it grabs it real tight, is when I hear people say men are not supposed to cry.
Oh, I hate that. That's a lie. That is a lie from the depths and the pits of hell. And I don't ever want to hear that. I don't. I do.
God gave these emotions to all of us.
Yes.
There's a scripture. Jesus wept. Hello. Hello.
And my goodness.
His brother died. Yes, and he was weeping.
Yes. And that's what's happening because, and this is a good thing. Stop telling these young boys that.
Yes.
Because what it teaches them is that to bottle up their emotions, to not let that no one cares what they think, no one cares what they feel, that they're supposed to always be strong. Just like we say, stop, you know, parentifying and adultifying girls, we need to do the same thing and stop doing that with young boys as well. Because it goes, the pendulum switch both ways. Yes. It's equal. You know, we have to, because you're saying, you know, we're complaining. I'm not, because I have a great, you know, emotionally stable and mature man.
Right.
But for those who are crying about not having it, it's because we keep saying we don't want that. We say it in our actions. We say it in how we treat them. We call them simps.
Right.
We call them sloth. We call them, you know, oh, you must, you know, learn to whatever. And that's the furthest from the truth.
You know, it's been, she's going to kill me, but I won't say her name. One of my daughters, I'll just leave it at that, would tell her son, stop crying. You sound like a little girl. And I would have to tell her, you got one more time. He don't sound like a little girl. He's a kid. You just yelled at him. You're his mother. You're his biggest fan. He loves you with all his heart. And you yelled at him. So you hurt his feelings. He has feelings.
Yep. And we have to, because the thing is like, I am seeing men decide that they no longer want to be here at a rate that is concerning. And so we need to, and that is, again, where mental health and being able to embrace therapy comes into play. We have to stop using it as an abuse tactic. We have to stop bullying with it. We have to stop, you know, making fun of people when they become vulnerable to us. You know, if you're not a safe space, don't purport that you are.
Exactly.
Number one. Number two, I'm also say something controversial, but I feel that social media has been a bad influence when it comes to those with mental health issues and mental illnesses, because what it does is that it helps feed a fantasy for some that doesn't exist.
Uh-huh.
Some who may be mentally fragile, that and their fantasy is broken, and the reality comes to light, they are not equipped to handle that.
Right.
And so that is where you see young children who've been bullied taking their lives because they're trying to live up to some social media standard.
And I mean, 8 and 9 and 10 year olds.
Yes.
There is no reason why a 10 year old or a 9, 8 year old is so stressed out that they think their only means to get some relief is to take their life.
Yes.
Yes.
You know, and parents, I understand that you are sometimes overwhelmed. And maybe if we begin to open that space up and to say, you know what, I'm overwhelmed.
Right.
You know what? I can't handle this. I need to seek help. Your children will realize that they can seek help.
Exactly.
Because again, I've worked with children so many times, I would see, you know, the children are crying for help. Oh, the therapists are for crazy people. I'm certified.
Yes.
I'm going to tell you what happens to a child who doesn't get proper therapy and trauma treatment as a child. You become a real certified adult. You can then, what happens is like, you know, and I'm very open and transparent about sharing. I have depression, clinical depression, anxiety, generalized anxiety, separation anxiety, post-traumatic stress disorder. Like when my therapist diagnosed me, she was in tears because she was just like, I ain't never seen nobody in my history have all this. But it is the outward result of not, you know, listening to your children with their trauma. But then you can't, you know, and I don't fault, you know, them back then because it wasn't talked about. But now we have no excuse.
You know that saying back then was, what happens in this house stays in this house.
That's a whole nother topic. We're gonna have to have a whole nother thing on that one because that's what it is. But I want to challenge and charge, you know, everyone, men, women, clergy, social workers, you know, therapists. I want you to take and think about, you know, shifting the narrative of we all at some point in our life need to talk to a mental health professional.
Yes.
Think about some of these jobs. You have to go through a psychoanalysis before they offer it to you.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to continue on one, you know, when, you know, something traumatic happens. You think about the police, you think about FBI. When they're involved in something tragic, what do? They send them to therapy.
Yeah.
It's mandatory. It's not even thought about. And we need to become more open about doing that. And then I feel that if we begin to start doing that, we will begin to see those rates go down because now we've equipped people to not only deal with their day-to-day, but we're equipping the people surrounding them to be able also to be the support and deal with their own. Because all of us is, you know, a happy box, you know, happy meal box short of, you know,
exactly. Yeah.
Whatever. I tell people all the time, and I think they, and I don't make fun of it, but my elevator don't function all the time. And I know that, and I keep myself out of certain situations, but I do know that when times when I know that, babe, it can't help, when I know you can't help, or whatever, I know that I need to call my therapist.
Right.
And I'm comfortable in discussing that. And we need more people comfortable in talking about that. Yeah, I call my therapist is on speed dial and mean it.
Uh-huh.
It's not as a jury or
whatever. Exactly. But to mean it.
Yeah.
You know.
And I want you to offer some effective ways that you've seen work for you, but that we can be, you know, more, you know, supportive and inclusive for those who may be dealing with like mental health issues and how we can, you know, best support them in the community in general, because again, you work within the community as well, and you see way more. How can we be a little bit more supportive and inclusive when it comes to that environment?
I highly suggest, and this is how I actually started writing. As an adult, I started writing down when I was upset. I started writing down when I didn't appreciate how people were treating me. Mm-hmm. And I had to look at how was I dealing with it. What was I doing to allow them to treat me that way? And until I had to understand that I have rights just like everybody else does. I have feelings just like everybody else does. Everybody else's feelings are not more important than mine. I had to make my own feelings, needs, and emergencies priority. So I started telling people, you know, your emergency is not my emergency. I'm sorry. You know, because and I have adult children now, and it cracks me up that sometimes they'll call me and they can't get me. Mommy, I was trying to reach you, blah, 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 blah. If it was an emergency, you better call on God and 911.
Just call on the Lord and he will be.
I'm saying, you know, because there are just a lot of things that are out of mommy's hands. You know, you would get a better response from God in 911 because I have to worry my mental health. I have to worry about this upstairs because I still have to live, you know, and I can't allow people to get into that bubble and bring toxicity. That's a word. Yeah. Bring toxicity into my bubble.
Right.
You know, because it would definitely stress me out. Been there, did that, will not go back to that side of the road again. Okay. And sometimes you just have to take those scissors and go snip, snip, snip. You have to cut people off. You don't even have to tell them. Okay. Just look at that phone when it rings and be like, oh, send a voicemail. You do not have to always tell people, you know what? I ain't dealing with your mess. No, no, Nope. Because now you're stressing yourself out even more because you want to tell them off. So, but no, let it go. As Ice Cube said in All About the Benjamins, L-I-G it, let it go. Because you have to maintain your sanity.
Yeah.
You know.
Right. So as we are winding down, how can people, if they wanted to reach out to you for life coaching, you know, self, you know, publishing coaching, things like that, how can they get you? How can they get in touch with you? How can they, you know,
I know you're gonna do this.
Of course you know.
Now, the big question is, was I prepared? But no, seriously, if you want to reach out to me, you can always shoot me an email at menkeishalpeterson, and it's just as it is up on the screen without the dots, without the periods. It's straight menkeishalpeterson. @gmail.com, or you can visit my website at KeishaLPeterson.com and just, you know, shoot me a message through there as well. And I will be glad to schedule a chit chat with you. Even if you just want to shoot the breeze, just need somebody to chit chat with, because sometimes that's what people just need. You know, I just want to laugh, and I'll make you laugh. Okay. And, you know, and then by the time we finish, you were like, oh, my goodness, what time is it? And I'm like, oh, I'm so, so sorry. But to see them laugh and to feel like, oh, that weight has been lifted.
Yeah.
You know, and yeah. To realize that you are not responsible for your sister's mental health. You're only responsible for yours. You know, because they're not going to come looking for your sister if you don't went out and shut up the store and shut up your job. No, they're not going to look for your sister. They're coming for you. Okay?
Yes.
So, yeah, that's how you can get in touch with me. And I'll respond to all emails and inquiries.
You know, and then of course, you know, if you didn't get her there, you can always come to our website, movingpastyou.com, to be able to find her, the episode and things like that. I want to thank you for being a part. I want to thank you for being vulnerable, because that is just so important in the overall scheme of this.
Yes.
You know, us being open, us being amazing, you know, friends and partners. And I want to thank you for always in the cut, no matter what, you are there.
I like that. And, in the cut, no matter what.
Yep. And so we also want to give a shout out to Minister Wiley Jones. We hope that everything is well. Of course, like again, she is a social worker. So therefore, when the duty calls, she has to go, whatever. We're definitely going to get her back on the show soon. So we really can deep dive into this more. This will be a conversation that we're going to have year round, because you know what? Mental health and suicide happens year round. It's just not just a particular month that it happens in.
Yes.
But, you know, thank you so much for joining us. I love it. Thank you so
much. You are welcome. It was such an honor. And I always enjoy chit-chatting outside of our normal chit-chats.
Great. Well, thank you so much, Minister Peterson. And everyone who is listening, thank you so much for being here. Like, you have helped make season four, episode one premiere, absolute success. Next week, we are going to be back with an amazing Miss Michelle Steiner as we talk about learning disabilities and how you live with them. And again, this is our 5th anniversary. So we're going to be partying for most of the month, again, making it happen. So if you haven't seen it, you can listen to the playback. You hear us on wherever we're at. Come and join us each and every week as we really deep dive into those issues that people need to be. Thank you. Be blessed. And I will see you next Friday, same time, same location. We are out.
Thanks for joining us this week on the Moving Past You Radio Show. Make sure to visit our website at www.movingpastyou.com, where you can subscribe to the show on iTunes. If you found value in the show, rate us on iTunes or simply tell a friend about the show. And be sure to tune in next Friday for our next episode. And remember to always be kind in your word, your thought, and in your deed. Be blessed.